hell am I gonna tell Paul Pierce in the middle of the summer? You know what I mean? Like, hey, Paul, take care. I'll see you next year.
That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to an off-season Clipcast. I'm your host, Chris Wilde. With me, as always, is the Jaguar.
Mike Jaglin. Here we are. We're a week separated.
I mean, doesn't it feel like it's only been a week since that terrible Game 7? I don't even want to mention that awful meltdown during Game 6, but doesn't it feel like a month has passed, Jag?
It really does. I mean, those first few days, they lingered. I mean, I compared it to, like, having my wife cheat on me with a Golden State Warriors fan. You walk in, you see the situation, and you think to yourself, oh, no, am I dreaming? But
right.
we didn't dream, and all in all, it was still pretty good damn season.
It was a great season. Obviously, we got as far as we've ever been, which is Game 7, Round 2. That's not the goal. The goal is not to get as far as we've ever got or tie as far as we've ever got, which was 2006, Game 7, Round 2. Now we did it here in 2015, 9 years later. That's not the goal. The goal is not to break records. The goal is not to break Clipper franchise records. The goal is to win a championship.
You know, we had our opportunities. There's no doubt about that. You know, it's funny. We went from good enough to now, everything I hear, we wasn't good enough. You know, it's amazing how that flips in sports. But I felt we were. We just didn't get the job done. But you have the whole summer to get over this. And, you know, there's been so many examples of this where you keep getting close, and then you break through. And it's funny, once you break through, this is forgotten. So you got to live with it now and hear about why we're bad, and everybody will have their own opinions and all that stuff. That's part of it. But in sports, you just keep doing it. You keep getting up. You keep playing. You keep practicing. My guess is this will make our guys work harder this summer. And not only just physically, but mentally, too, you know, because that's a big part of sports as well.
Now, obviously, you and I would be pleased as punch if we made it in the Western Conference Finals, and even hypothetically say we lose to the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. At least we finally made it over that hump and got to round three. That being said, man, we'd be irritated if we, you know, were losing to the Warriors right now.
We would, but I think we'd still take it in a heartbeat. I mean, again, it was just, it was just such a tough season, because I think in the beginning of the year, a lot of the pundits out there actually picked the Clippers to get to the finals.
Right.
And I think a lot of us thought that this team was going to take that leap, but that wasn't the case.
I mean, we knocked out the defending champs. You know, hell, you can make a case we went one game further than we did the year before, you know. But we didn't go one series further, and that's the key. And, you know, like, for me, the Western Finals is not the goal. It's the goal for, I guess, all you guys or people. That's not our goal. Our goal is to be a champion.
Here we have Doc's old cabinet of coaches, Gentry and Lou, about to square off in the finals, you know, and he had to replace them with Lawrence Frank and Mike Woodson. And, you know, things were not that easy this season. They didn't have, you know, one of their big winning streaks until, what, the middle of the season. And, you know, there were games that they lost that they should have won, that they easily would have been the second seed.
Well, their best run was late. Their best run was winning 14 out of 15, which is basically what got them the 3 seed. And had they, you know, mustered a couple of more W's, then they get that 2 seed. And then obviously it's a whole different can of worms because we play Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, again, you look at what happened to them, you know, the Portland loss, the Pelicans without Anthony Davis. We can go back to how badly they played against the East Coast too. They lost twice to Toronto, twice to Atlanta, twice to the Cavs. And the year prior, they were a lot better against the Geese.
Yeah, they would split those series, or they would sweep.
But again, this team really endured a lot. You know, the injury to Blake, you know, things could have really gone south because that was actually at a point of the season when the West was really jumbled up before, you know, Kevin Durant was eventually ruled out. But they stuck together and they got through it. But the problem was, is something that we were really worried about was the depth and the minutes that these guys were logging all year.
Well, you mentioned the assistant coaches earlier, Jag, and I'd like to bring up the assistant coach they hired in Sam Cassell. It's funny that Sam Cassell has basically led the Clippers to Game 7, Round 2, the furthest they've ever gotten twice, as the point guard in 2006, as the assistant coach working with the guards in 2015. But let's not talk about the past. Let's move forward. Last season is behind us. Oh, we'll get him next year. And, Jag, it ain't summer without a Paul Pierce back in his hometown L.A. and back with Doc in a Clippers uniform rumor, which we've got right now. Is there any validity to this rumor this time? Because we've heard this rumor now last summer. I swear we heard it two summers ago. But is there any validity to this rumor, Jaglyn?
I mean, there is validity to it. I mean, Paul Pierce, he has a player option of, I believe, it's $5.5 million. And if he decides to opt out of that and play, all signs point to the Clips. I mean, he has his family in L.A. He has a relationship with Doc. So if he opts out, there's a strong possibility he'll end up with the Clippers. Now, the Clippers have a mini mid-level exception that's around $3.3 million. You would like to try to stay away from giving that to Paul Pierce because the minimum he could accept, I believe, is $1.6 million. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's made over $150 million in his career.
Right.
I really don't think, you know, a million and a half is going to kill him.
So you're saying you don't think he wants that 5.5, which is probably the most he's going to get anywhere, right?
Yeah. Oh, it is. Because, you know, he was really unsure at the end of that series against the Hawks if, you know, he was going to come back. But, you know, he's got younger kids. He's from L.A. It makes sense just to give it one more shot.
Doc loves him. Doc and him still have a relationship.
Who doesn't love him?
Doc talks about him all the time.
Who doesn't love him? I mean, this is a man that LeBron James said he learned how to win through playing against Paul Pierce. You know, Game 6 against the Rockets probably doesn't happen if you have Paul Pierce on your team.
Absolutely, and maybe it's time for Paul Pierce to teach Chris Paul how to win.
Well, I mean, Chris Paul did a great thing for us on one hammy and arguably one of the greatest series in round one. So I don't think we can go and discount Chris Paul, but I think Paul Pierce for the younger guys, you know, especially Blake and DJ, really helped them.
Hey, bud, no really one on them. The team other than Big Baby and J.J. Redick know how to get past round two, or at least know what it's like.
No one does.
All right, well, listen, again, let's bring on our special guest, Lucas Hahn, to talk about Paul Pierce rumors, salary cap, because you started talking about the salary cap and mid-level exceptions and mini mid-levels, and it makes my head spin, and Lucas Hahn knows more about it than I do.
And also, we need to talk about two huge player options, team options, that are up on June 30th.
All right, let's call this wonder kid, and you and him can have Wonder Twin powers activate and talk about all your budgetary player exceptions and CPOs and get some CPAs on the line. All I care about is LAC.
We've had an Andrew Hahn, now a Lucas Hahn.
Hey, Lucas, talk to me about mid-level exceptions and mini mid-level exceptions and veterans minimums. What the hell is going on with Paul Pierce, and can we actually get him this summer?
Well, the thing about Paul Pierce is that it's always been a possibility and something you've seen floated around that he can opt out of his player option with the Wizards for this upcoming season and enter the free agent market. And, of course, were he to do that, you know, an attractive destination for him would be come home to Los Angeles, play with Doc Rivers, chase a ring with the Clippers. The Clippers are really limited, though, in their flexibility. All they basically have, except for offering minimum deals, is the taxpayer mid-level exception which is significantly less than what they have had in previous summers, the full mid-level exception. Now that the team is going to be well over the tax line, the apron, the hard cap, all those are going to be over it with DeAndre Jordan's new deal. So basically the most they can give him is about $3.4 million compared to the $5.5 that he's due to make in Washington. Is that really a big deal for a guy like Paul Pierce who's made over $190 million in his career? Probably not, but you know, the money talks over and over again in this league, so we'll have to see. The other option, I think, would be if the Clippers were to orchestrate some sort of trade where Paul Pierce made it known to the Wizards that he wanted to leave and he wants to go join the Clippers, and then they were to trade Jamal Crawford for him. That's really the only salary from the Clippers that would fit in that situation. And from the Wizards' perspective, they're getting back, you know, a veteran bench scorer instead of getting back nothing for Pierce. I'm not sure exactly how well that would work, but if it was possible, if all parties were agreeing, then it would allow the Clippers to get Pierce and maintain that mini mid-level exception, which is really their only flexibility to add a new player. The only other way that could really work out is if Pierce opted out of his contract and then took an even bigger pay cut to sign with the Clippers for the minimum, which would be just a tick under $1.5 million for next season.
Well, that's what Jag was saying he could possibly do. I mean, we know money talks and we know what walks. I mean, is there a possible scenario, Jaglin, where Paul Pierce takes a huge pay cut and just comes in for like $1 million and then we can spread the wealth a little to other guys?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, this Lucas, I think you'll agree with this. I mean, this team needs to get deeper at the wing position. I mean, it's the main priority. So if it's Paul Pierce, which you're kind of hoping it isn't, that you're going to dedicate that $3-plus million mini mid-level to, it's got to be a Gerald Green or an Aminu or someone out there that's going to help bolster this roster, because having, you know, JJ and Jamal basically play your two and the three, you have one guy that's 6'4" and one guy that's 6'5". We learned, especially in the Houston series, that this length that they possessed just was crippling, especially wearing down our shooters. And all these teams that are in the playoffs, I feel like they have, like, just wings that they can just rotate and not really miss a beat. And that's something I think this team really has to upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with that for sure. When you look at who the Clippers are trying to add on the wings and what they've really needed for a few years now, they need size, they need athleticism, they need youth and some energy. And Matt Barnes, even though he's getting older, he still brings a little bit of energy and athleticism, but he doesn't really have the size. If you look at someone like Aminu Gerald Green, who's coming in at 6'7", 6'8", with the long arms and the freak dunk. You know, Matt Barnes is a great energy guy. Matt Barnes is a really, really, really good backup shooting guard / small forward who can play a lot of minutes. He can step into the starting lineup. He can guard starter-level players from other teams. But is he really your full-time guy? Especially when you look at the way the Clippers lineup is set up, small forward is their worst position. You know, talking about last season, small forward was their worst position. Matt Barnes is just worse than the other four guys in the court. That's nothing against him because, you know, he's really been commendable in what he's done in his time here. But small forward has been the worst position in the starting lineup. And then when you look at the reserve unit, small forward's the worst position there too. And so it's the worst position, and then there's the worst drop-off when they go to the bench. And so the Clippers really need at least another fringe starter-level Matt Barnes-type player to come in so that they can at least rotate those guys instead of just being stuck between average and horrible at that position.
Well, brings up a great Twitter question from Nate Bryce, at NBryce1. Will we have the same starting five next season? Lucas, what do you think?
I think we'll definitely have the same starting four next season. You look at Paul, Redick, Griffin, Jordan, those guys are all going to be back, all back in their starting roles. Barnes is the only question mark. I'd say that if the Clippers are able to swing a Jamal Crawford trade, get a better small forward, maybe Wilson Chandler, obviously has been talked about a lot, then we might end up with a new starting small forward, but even then, if Chandler's brought in, I could see Barnes staying in the starting lineup and Chandler just playing significant minutes off the bench. If the Clippers stick and just use their mini mid-level exception, I think Barnes is definitely going to keep the starting position. So I would say, yeah, the smart money would be on the Clippers having the same starting five next season. Hopefully Barnes' role is just reduced within that to maybe playing 24 to 28 minutes a night with a really strong backup.
What do you think, Jack?
Yeah. I think they will have a new starting small forward, and you need to. I mean, I'm all for bringing back Matt Barnes. Again, Matt Barnes and Jamal have their options on June 30th, which is something to look at, too. So if there was to be a Simon trade, you know, Paul Pierce forcing his way out of Washington, you know, logically before the 30th would make the most sense, because if Washington didn't want to keep Jamal, they could then buy out that option. I just feel that this team needs, you know, an upgrade there. If it is Paul Pierce, if it is Gerald Green, I'm all for bringing back Matt Barnes. I think Matt Barnes is a big mental piece to this puzzle, but this team needs to upgrade, and we can't just bring in Chris Douglas Roberts and, you know, guys like that that we think have a shot. You know, there are going to be people at the bottom of the barrel, you know. You know, say a Darrell Wright, maybe a Mike Dunleavy Jr. That might be out there, Wes Johnson. But regardless, this position needs to be upgraded for this team to, you know, really win a championship.
Well, I like what I'm hearing. So we're saying, look, JJ, DJ, CP, and Blake, those four guys are back. Barnes could come back, but hopefully as a bench guy, as an energy guy off the bench, as like a defensive poison pill for the opposition. So basically, Clipper Nation, you're going to get four of your five back. And we should. I mean, those four guys are strong. But you're right. We need to beef up the three. It would be great to get Barnes off the bench, like you're saying. And then, you know, is there a situation, boys, where Barnes and Crawford actually stay? We keep that core six and build our 7 and 8. You know, not necessarily the six are going to be the top six guys, but we keep those six guys and actually bring in like a Paul Pierce and somebody else. Is there a potential situation, or you think there's going to be a shakeup?
It's a matter of you can move them. I mean, because I don't think, you know, you're not, if you can't move Barnes or Jamal for a piece, like Lucas was saying, like a Tyson Chandler or Wilson Chandler, or, you know, or a signing trade for Paul Pierce, they very well could pick up those options.
I would go further than say that there's a possibility that that happens. I would say that the most likely outcome for this summer would be that both of those guys stay on the team. We've seen in the last couple of years Jamal Crawford's name constantly in trade rumors, constantly getting stirred around. The Clippers are trying to look to flip him as a backup for a new starting small forward at the next position over, and over again, it hasn't really amounted to anything. I think the Clippers have been very open to trading Jamal throughout his time here, basically, and I don't think that the offers have really come in for a low-efficient, high-usage, aging guy who doesn't defend. And unless there's a new perfect situation for some team this summer where either they can save a lot of money because they can take him and then release him and only owe him the $1.5 million on his partially guaranteed deal, or a team, let's say the Paul Pierce situation where Washington is either getting, you know, nothing and Pierce leaves, or they're getting Crawford, then maybe there's a chance of something like that getting worked out. But overall, I'd say that the most likely outcome for this offseason is that what has been happening continues to happen. Jamal Crawford comes back, Matt Barnes comes back, the Clippers add one contributing piece on the wing without many mid-level exception, and then take a few gambles at the minimum.
I mean, you know, that piece would have certainly helped this year. Our old pal Nick Hamilton at Nick Hamilton LA asks, is potential Paul Pierce move a year too late? What do you think, Lucas?
Well, I think it's a year later than you'd like it, but is it a year too late? The jury's out. Obviously, you know, he's an old guy. He's only getting older at 38. But if you can bring him into a team like this, and really limit his minutes, especially during the regular season, I think he could be a contributor. I think he could be a difference maker in the playoffs. You're looking at a guy who, you know, even though he's been aging, he was almost ridiculously efficient this year at, I think, around 45% from the field and 39% from deep. Compared to Jamal Crawford, was under 40% from the field and, you know, under, like, around 33% from deep. So Pierce was able to put up those numbers with pretty high efficiency, and obviously we saw him be big in the clutch in the playoffs, you know, when the lights were on. So it's a year later than you'd like it. You would have loved to have Paul Pierce on the team this year. But is it too late? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think it's too late. I mean, look what the guy did 8 days ago, for crying out loud, or 2 weeks ago, whatever it is. And you know Doc's not going to drag him through the coals for 82 games of the regular season. If anything, he's going to get very limited minutes and then be a super stud in the postseason next year, ideally.
And with what we were saying about, you know, needing a guy who can either start at small forward and push Barnes to the bench, or needing a guy who can really play heavy minutes and maybe split time 50-50 with Barnes, I don't think Pierce is that guy, and that's why I'm kind of against using that mini mid-level on Paul Pierce, because I really don't think it puts the Clippers in a strong position if they're forced to keep starting Matt Barnes and playing Paul Pierce heavy minutes as a backup, or starting Paul Pierce all 82 games all season. I don't think that that's his niche on a team in 2016.
If you were able to get Paul, though, at the minimum, you take him out heartbeat, because then you can easily flip that other salary into, like we talked about, who would be your favorite? Would you go Gerald Green, or would you go Aminu, or someone else on your list? Because you wrote a phenomenal article up on Clips Nation that all of our listeners should definitely check out.
You know, who
would you give it to?
My ideal situation would be trying to move Jamal Crawford for a wing, and then using the mini mid-level on a point guard, a backup point guard instead, and bumping Rivers to the two. I don't think you're going to get the level of contributor that the Clippers need at small forward with just that mini mid-level exception, because guys like Aminu, Gerald Green, you know, Wesley Johnson, those guys are all seriously, seriously flawed players. Mike Dunleavy Jr., too, who is, you know, another candidate. They're flawed players. They all bring one or two of the things that the Clippers need without bringing some of the other things that they need. Dunleavy Jr., great shooter, doesn't really bring the energy, defense, youth that the Clippers need. Aminu brings that energy and defense and youth and size, but he's really more suited as a, you know, backup small forward slash power forward than starting small forward. And if you put a 27% three-point shooter on this team with Griffin and Jordan, you're not going to have any spacing. You bring in Johnson, yeah. It's a guy who, you know, Johnson and Green both have moderate efficiency. Green's a little bit of a chucker. Johnson was putting up decent stats on a bad team. None of these guys are really sure bets. None of them are great players. I think I'd have to give the edge probably to Gerald Green if I had to pick one guy off this list, but I really am not overly confident in any of these names. I think the Clippers would be better off trying to pursue that small forward upgrade in a trade and then use that mini mid-level option on a backup point guard, third guard, to replace Crawford.
I mean, I think we'll all be in agreement here. Wilson Chandler is the dream if they were able to get him, but that would definitely mean Jamal. I mean, there are rumors out there that Denver might be blowing it up, but you're probably going to have to throw in your 2019 first round pick too, because I don't think that deal's getting done without that. But that's something that they could, you know, possibly look into, because he would be great. He'd be great for the Clippers.
Well, I think we answered Jesse Beer at Clipper Guy's question, who are your top targets in the offseason? But he had a follow-up question. Should the Clips go after Tom Thibodeau, to coach the D for a year? Is that a realistic possibility, Lucas?
I don't think so. I think if something like that turned out, it would be great for the Clippers. Obviously, Thibodeau is one of the best coaches in the NBA. You know, his game management with his substitution patterns may be suspect, but what he does on the defensive end is pretty unrivaled in the NBA. But I just don't think it's realistic. You're looking at a guy who was making, you know, reportedly over $4 million a year in Chicago and probably due for a pay raise wherever he ends up going, you know, after this spell. The only hope for the Clippers to get him would be if Chicago, you know, does, as many people are kind of fearing, is kind of being hinted at, that they're going to hold him until the other coaching vacancies are filled and then fire him so that he can't get another job. But even then, you look at a guy who's making that much money, is he going to take that pay cut to come be an assistant for 1 year?
Ian Doc are thick as thieves. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm buying it 100%, but this is a good scenario for Tibbs to come for a year and just chill with Doc. Ballmer can write him a check, you know, run the defense, move Lawrence Frank over. It'd be phenomenal for this core.
Yeah, move Lawrence Frank over to run concessions, you know, sell some T-shirts at Staples. Thibodeau, what is he going to do? I mean, Chicago's dumping him. He's clearly not made for TV. I don't want to listen to that guy talk. I want to hear him shout from the sidelines. And then what are his other options? Being a coach at college, I guess?
I bet a lot of those options have dried up already, too. I mean, all those options are going to be done. I mean, they're really putting him in a tight situation. I mean, I don't know. I know it's a pipe dream for Clippers fans because it would getting Pierce and getting Thibodeau, like a 2008 reunion show. But, anything's possible. And the more it drags out, the more Doc has a shot of possibly luring him over to the Clips.
Yeah, the more Chicago screws that guy over, the better it is for Clipper Nation. Maybe my favorite man on Twitter right now, Simba, at Garner and Now _, he asks, when's Ballmer getting Lawler a statue? I'm going to answer that right now. Lawler's not getting a statue until A, we get our own arena, and B, Lawler retires, which hopefully is never. But when Lawler retires and we have our own arena, for sure he's getting a statue. And then can Ballmer purchase players outside the cap? And do you think Ballmer will hire a GM? What do you got, Lucas?
Okay, so as far as purchasing players outside the cap goes, you don't really purchase players. That's the wrong terminology, but I get where this guy's coming from as far as acquiring players. And the only way to do that over the cap is through what the NBA collective bargaining agreement calls exceptions. The Clippers, as a taxpaying team, have, as we've discussed, what's called the taxpayer mid-level exception, which is worth about $3.37 million for next season. It can be signed for up to a 3-year deal. That's really their only way of acquiring a substantial player through free agency. Otherwise, they're just left to the league minimum salary, which is on a scale depending on years of experience, and it ranges from a little under $1 million for really young guys to just like $1.499 million for guys with 10 or more years of experience. So that's pretty low salary. That's where you get guys like Ekpe Udoh, Ryan Hollins, Hedo Turkoglu, Byron Mullins in years past, not guys that are likely to be big contributors. So that's really the only way for Ballmer, Doc to acquire guys over the, with their current situation being over the cap, is to use that taxpayer mid-level exception. Other than that, they'll have to rely on trades and re-signing their own guys.
No. They can buy second-round picks, though, correct? Like the Lakers last year bought second-round pick to get Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, and actually there's been a couple rumors that the Clippers are interested in that. I'm not sure how substantial these sources are, but they should have a little over $3 million that they can use to try to buy a pick. You look at a team like the 76ers has 6 draft picks. Maybe the Clippers could try to bid and get that number 37 pick from them. Also, it's not just second-round picks. They could try to buy a first-round pick because the pick itself has no value until it's a player, and then it has value for whatever that player's guaranteed salary is. And sometimes those teams, at the end of the draft are trying to trade away those late players to get rid of that guaranteed salary for somebody who's not going to get their rotation. It hasn't been as big of a thing recently, but it's something we've seen in the past. So there's possibilities for the Clippers to buy a draft pick. But then again, you know, number 37 from Philadelphia or number 45 from Boston, those are teams that have a lot of picks in the draft and aren't going to want to carry 4 or 5 rookies into the season. But are you really going to get a player who's going to help you this year at number 37 or number 45? Probably not. So, yeah, it's possible, but I don't think it's going to be a difference maker at the end of the day.
But, I mean, look, not having a D-League team, not having a huge international presence, it is important for this team to get young, though, and take a shot on some of these guys.
Well, Austin Rivers is real young, Jack.
No, I know, but this team does not have a draft pick this year. And you want to get some youth in there, and you want to see, you know, what you could potentially get. You know, KJ McDaniels was a second-round guy last year. You know, he played really well. There are guys out there that could contribute and possibly, you know, crack the rotation.
No, and I think what Garner now was saying in his final question was, like, do you think Ballmer will hire a GM? I'm guessing what he means is, do you think Ballmer will shake up Doc's position as head of basketball or president of basketball operations? Which, P.S., I like Doc being coach and president of basketball operations, because they're first of all, they're the same guy, Doc Rivers, and they're never going to disagree. I mean, Doc said it himself, like, he's been on the receiving end of the coach not getting along with basically the GM, and it never, ever works. I mean, look what's happening with Thibodeau in Chicago. Here's an example of, like, the front office hating their coach, where at least in L.A., our front office, our head office is Doc Rivers, and our coach is Doc Rivers. They clearly get along, unless the guy's bipolar and I'm not reading about it. But will Ballmer maybe bring in some other executives? You know, I know, what's his name, Jag, who's our GM, who was begging Doc Wall was begging Doc to get Austin Rivers actually before the season started. And this guy Wall, you know, made sense, because Austin starting the season would have helped. Austin clearly helped in the postseason. Austin doesn't look like he's going anywhere, but I guess it's up to Austin. But does Ballmer bring in some other suits, basically, Lucas?
You know, I really, really think it's unlikely. The Clippers, you know, to answer the question that's perpetually asked, the Clippers need a GM. Who's going to be the GM? Like you said, they have a GM, Dave Wall. He's the GM. The GM just doesn't, in this case, is secondary to the president or vice president of basketball operations, which is Doc Rivers. But Wall is that guy. He's that advisor. The Clippers might add a couple other guys. You know, there's always going to be turnover in that sort of situation, because someone gets offered more power here, an assistant coach job there, whatever. But Doc Rivers is still going to be the guy making basketball decisions. He's going to be pulling the strings. He's going to have the final say. And whatever that pyramid is of decision-making, he's going to be at the top of it no matter what.
Now, all the tweeters and twitterers and twitheads and twats or whatever they're called who asked about DeAndre Jordan and is Gasol better than DeAndre and who
glad,
should we get
glad
if
you
we
got
don't...
to that, because that's an interesting question too. You know,
but we all know
DJ.
That DJ's not going anywhere, Jack.
No, I totally agree with you.
So why answer questions about DJ or new bigs?
If he wants to go somewhere else, he can just leave.
He's not going anywhere.
But listen to me. People have to realize, if say DJ goes to Dallas
to get less money, you know, and to play on a team that's not as good?
Chris, I'm just throwing a hypothetical out there.
You're putting the pathetic in hypothetical right now.
Basically, when you do a sign and trade, if the Clippers were to try to get anything in return for DJ, if they were put in the situation, they would have to do a sign and trade with a team DJ wanted to go to.
But DJ can make the most money here. We're going to give him the most money. He's only been a Clipper.
Know,
he loves it here.
I know. I think he'll stay. I'm just letting people know that think that you can just sign and trade someone anywhere. You can't. It has to be approved by the player.
All right, guys. Well, this next question is very hard-hitting, and I hope you're sitting down, okay? Jacqueline, I'm going to start with you. This is from @ChrisChilla. He asks, if you were a flower, what kind of flower would you be, Jaglyn?
A daisy.
A daisy? You know,
yeah.
I'd be like Blake Griffin. I'd be a flower poorward. You see what I did there?
Oh, boy.
Lucas, what kind of flower would you be?
I'd be type of flower that's like James Harden when someone blows in his general direction. It's just blowing in the breeze, flailing everywhere.
Excellent.
Oh,
Man, I'd be a weed, man. Well, listen, Lucas Hahn, thank you so much for coming on your very first ClipCast. What are you going to do this summer, man? Obviously, stare at some numbers, man. You're a great number cruncher.
Yeah, you know, I'm at home. I'm back in California for the summer, just enjoying it. Probably going to work a little bit. I'm coaching some 12-year-olds, so I'll let you know how that goes. I think I got a pretty good team this year.
Genius. Get some young threes for the Clippers to look at in about 6 years.
Yeah, it's all about development.
Who do you got? Yep. Who do you got? Cavs, Warriors. Who do you got in Cleveland versus Oakland?
You know, I think Cleveland's a better team. Or, I mean, I think the Warriors are a better team, excuse me. But I'm just hoping LeBron can pull it out because it's going to be absolutely insufferable if the Warriors are able to win it.
You are correct.
They've already won the California Cup. Isn't it enough, Oakland? You won the damn California Cup.
No, we're still the defending California Cup champions.
Not anymore, Jag. They took it away from us. All right, Lucas. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Lucas.
Thanks, guys.
We were a quarter away from the Western Finals.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we need to blow this thing up.
Sure.
We don't need to do a lot. You know, we don't need to go out and get a max player. Except for the one we have. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to add pieces, and it's going to be hard because we are restricted, you know. And again, I've been saying that for 2 years, you know. It's going to be where we do something, where we take a gamble on something. Who knows, you know, but we have to improve our bench. We have to improve just overall, and, you know, because everyone else is. Some teams have more room to do that. We don't.
There he was, Lucas Hahn, the editor of ClipsNation.com. I mean, him and Steve Perrin, they're the best writers over there, right, Jack?
Oh, yeah. But, you know...
I'm not sleeping on Jules Jessup. I love Double J. She's going to come on the show, too, this summer.
Double J can definitely Double J it up.
I don't know what that means. But, I like that this kid knows all these numbers and the stuff that you know that I just don't understand, the mini-mid level, this and that. All that crap, it makes me dizzy and it hurts my head. But when he tells me it, I understand it.
Well, it's also bringing – and that's the thing. Is like, as basketball fans, you're a fan of the game, but – there's so much of a game. The game is based on analytics and based on, you know, salary cap.
It's a business.
And again, because the Clippers are over the luxury tax, they don't get a full mid-level exception that they had last year when they went out and got Haas. So, you know, that's basically prorated. They're limited, you know, with their minimum exceptions, you know. So it's really good for all the fans to kind of like just know about, because everyone and their brother has hypothetical trades that you can't go on doing video games.
Absolutely. You can't just trade somebody like you can on a video game, or even that ESPN NBA.com trade machine thing that they have, Jack.
Yeah. No, and I thought we brought up some very, very valid points on scenarios that they could look into on the Jamal Crawford front. If they were to try to move him, you know, again, we all are kind of in agreement that we think Jamal and Matt will probably come back. But again, June 30th is the day. June 30th is that day that, their options will or will not be picked up.
And you know what's nice, Jag, is that, you know, all these things can happen in July, right? But because of the world we live in, we all know it well before July 1st and July 2nd, what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's going to be really, really interesting to see how this all pans out. We have, you know, another few weeks before it's really going to start heating up.
Well, you know, there actually is going to be some big news in Clipperland in the middle of June. Should we spill it? Should we spill the scoop? Should we spill the scoop?
Let's make sure we're okay to release a scoop.
Are you sure about that? You don't want to release it now, Jack?
I don't want to get scooped.
You want to wait? You want to? I'm worried that we're going to get scooped by like Wyke or Arash, or are these guys off in Turks and Caicos? They don't care anymore.
Arash is in Manhattan Beach at beach parties.
That's L.A.'s Turks and Caicos, Jag. So you're saying sit on the scoop? I just don't want to be out scooped.
Well, I don't. I also don't want Mr. Burton to have us be the first people to bust it without his guidance.
All right. Well, we're gonna sit on our scoop until the next Clipcast, which we may have to call Scoopcast.
Scoop.
I'm telling you, that's gonna drive our fans absolutely nutty. I hope nobody has a nut allergy, because you are gonna be driven nutty because I'm sitting on a scoop that the world will know about. I think it's June 15th or 16th, but I know now what the world will know in the middle of June. Jack, you're the producer of the show. I'm just a talent. I listen to the producer, man.
We hold on to the scoop.
All right, fans, if you're mad that I'm not spilling the beans right now, you can send all your hate mail to @mjags24 on Twitter and leave me alone. All right, Jag, man, have a great summer, bud. And, you know, hope fans, we'll be back in a week or two with Scoopcast, I promise. We're going to not bite the hand that feeds us and ask the Clippers if it's okay if we tell you. And if they give us like a soft no, we'll tell you. If they give us a hard no, you're going to have to wait till the middle of June like the rest of the people in the world. Should we sound the horn, Jack?
It's a big summer for Clipper Nation, right?
Paul Pierce is coming, man. I think third time's a charm with these summer lovin', with all these rumors.
Summer
I
lovin'.
Mean, the flip-flops are out. You know, it's after Memorial Day. The summer blockbusters are in the movie theater. LeBron's in the finals, and Paul Pierce coming to L.A. Rumors are here. It is summer. I think third time's a charm, man. Why wouldn't he want to get back together with Doc and come home? Doesn't make any sense to me.
I know.
For $3 million to live in Washington, D.C.? I mean, the cherry blossoms only last about a couple weeks. I used to live in D.C. That place is a pit.
Mayor Barry, right?
Obama's leaving. I would leave, too, if I was Paul Pierce. Jack,
sound
the summer horn, would you?
Summer loving,
clipping
the horn.
Oh, no.
It's easy to say what we can do, but if anybody has any ways of doing it, I'd love to know. You know what I mean? It's easy to say what we can do, who we can get, but it ain't that easy.